Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lasso. This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia, where? Of course, on 87.6, 87.8, 88, or on the Faith FM app. You can chat to us by sending a message to 0491-064-669. And today's Thursday, April 25th, and it is Anzac Day. Time now is 7.05 a.m. New South Wales time. I'm in the studio today with Lawson, Shell, Brian, and Lyle. Just came in. Good morning to all of you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here on Faith FM.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Lyle, coming in. And obviously, just you've just been all suited up and just jumped out of that. Leading out in the Anzac Day service here at Big Camp, where we've been broadcasting from for the last couple of days.
You know, it was a very unique experience. I've never, ever done Anzac Day dawn service before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I've always wanted to do. Well, not always, but
for a long
time. I
thought you always did them because
no, this is my first time ever.
It looks like you knew exactly what you were doing.
I'm glad it looked that way.
I think it's just participating in the dawn service. You've taken it all in and ready to go, ready to get it done.
It was a real privilege. I've got to say that. It's just an absolute privilege to be able to remember, you know, the sacrifices of our servicemen, you know, both in the past and in the present, those who are currently serving right now.
Hey, I just need to give a quick shout out. I was standing with some New Zealanders, some good friends of mine who, unfortunately, there might have been a particular anthem that is special to them that was left out of the service. But they said, Lawson, you can make reconciliation for this if you shout us out on radio. So shout out my friends from New Zealand. Yeah,
may God bless all of the Kiwis. Next year you can come and do the haka.
We had some amazing stories shared this morning.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We have active duty service members. We have former service members, and we have stories of old. What was the name of that soldier that you shared a story?
Albert Jacka.
Albert Jacka. Guys, research about him. And in today's shows, we are going to be talking about some Anzac stories. We're going to be talking about Australia's top spy and police chief are asking tech giants to allow them to peek into our phones. We're going to have an interview about Joy with GT and a Bible study on the morning star of the Reformation. You cannot miss today's show. It's amazing.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We are going to get into our first quiz question of today. Simply this. This character made a greater impact, literally, in his death than in his entire life by giving himself to God and collapsing a building, the supports of a building. Hey, if you know who this is, 0491-064-669. Our greater theme for our quiz today is based on sacrifice, as it is Anzac Day. Again, that question was, this character made a greater impact, literally, in his death than in his entire life by giving himself to God and collapsing building supports. If you know the answer to this one, again, that number was 0491-064-669. And of course, for this week, as we are broadcasting from Big Camp, we won't be doing just a draw on Friday, but on every day at 8:45 a.m. And today's prize,
is a trip to Gallipoli, all paid with Lawson.
No.
Oh, okay.
Producer Shell is sitting in the corner, like freaking out, like frantically diving and whatnot. We're doing Faith FM merch. So, hey, it'll be a Faith FM t-shirt plus stickers and magnets and all amazing things. We want to give that to you absolutely for free. So, again, that number 0491-064-669. Who was it that collapsed a building supports, giving himself and sacrificing his life for God? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669.
So today is Anzac Day, and we want to celebrate Anzac. But first, like, what is celebrated in Anzac Day, and why is it important? Because just yesterday we were airing news that a group of teachers in Victoria, they're just using that opportunity to vilify, to dig up some dirt and to basically shed a very negative light. It looks like they're wanting to cancel the very meaning of Anzac Day. Why is Anzac Day important, in your opinion, and how does that relate to the Bible?
Okay, so there's two different aspects in answer to this question. So first of all, you know, we can look at it from the perspective of politics, and you may or may not agree with, everyone's going to disagree with some political situations that take place. And wars are started and prosecuted by politicians. And I think that we all have the freedom to be able to say, okay, we shouldn't have been involved in this war. We should have been involved in that one. You know, that's for everybody to decide. What we should never, ever be doing is speaking down to those who serve, who follow orders and who go to war, and who do so because they have signed up to defend Australia and Australian values.
That's a great distinction.
Yeah, there's a big distinction between those two. And when people turn on servicemen and servicewomen, I have a major problem with that. Certainly, have your version of history, have your particular take on politics. That is there for everybody. And we, you know, we have a God-given right to, and duty, I should say, to take a stand on political issues and to, you know, to try and see our country go in a, what we believe is a right, godly direction. But when it comes to those who have served and those who have sacrificed, and, you know, sacrifice begins with being away from your family. You know, it moves up the ladder to the mental challenges that people bring back with them from areas of active conflict, but it goes right the way through to those who pay the ultimate sacrifice and pay with their lives for their mates, for the people they're fighting alongside of, for the purpose of the cause, whatever it might be. And so I'm very, very disturbed when people try and politicize the service of individuals.
I agree with you. And what are the values that ANZAC stand for, and why are we so drawn to them?
Okay, so ANZAC stand for, in many ways they stand for, today we would say they stand for mateship, you know, because these were men who travelled to the other side of the world, the original ANZACs fighting in Gallipoli, and it was, you know, it's an interesting situation where in Australia we actually celebrated defeat.
Yes.
You know, you don't often see that. Probably the only other battle that is celebrated as a defeat is the Battle of Thermopylae. You know, Greeks, they celebrate the Battle of Thermopylae, which was also a defeat. But we celebrate it as a defeat because it was a defining moment for our nation. It was a time when our nation, along with New Zealand, the two of our nations stood side by side. We fought together and we fought for each other. We fought for the guys that were in the trenches beside us.
Yeah.
And that's the value that I see in the whole ANZAC story, the values coming through. It illustrates to us as Australians the importance of being there for each other in times of crisis. There's probably a lot of different things that we could talk about in the whole ANZAC story.
Absolutely. And why do you think that the ANZAC values, they exert such a fascination upon us? Now, we had a great turnout this morning here at Big Camp.
Yeah, I think it was best turnout we've ever had at a dawn service at Stewart's Point Big Camp. Yeah,
we had over 100 people, maybe 200.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Easily, right?
Easily.
And how do you think that these values reflect the kingdom of God, Jesus? Are they at odds or are they in alignment?
No, the Bible says no greater love has any man than he that lays down his life for his friends. And that was a Bible verse that was quoted several times this morning by different speakers. And I really appreciate that. And this is literally what happens with servicemen and servicewomen, you know, in times of conflict. And, you know, we can have discussions about, you know, the values of combatancy versus non-combatancy and all these kind of things. And historically, Adventists have had primarily a non-combatant stand. That does not mean that they have not served on the front lines. You know, non-combatancy started in World War I with Adventists who volunteered to work in bomb disposal and formed bomb disposal units because they wanted to save lives rather than take lives. And, you know, very few of those guys survived. That was, you know, they volunteered for what was literally the most dangerous job in existence.
Till this day.
Yeah.
Till this day, one thing that I know about the American Army is that if you want to be part of a, what they call it, ordnance disposal unit, you have to volunteer. You cannot be assigned.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
You have to volunteer for that position because, and it's so difficult and so dangerous. And often these men and women who are in these kinds of services, they are so well regarded by their companions in their regular troops or even in special forces because they're doing a life-saving job.
And these days you've got, you know, you've got protective clothing that you can wear. You have robots that you can use. There's a lot of, yes, you know, technology that is available today to bomb disposal experts that was not available. Basically, bomb disposal experts who were defusing bombs and shells that were, you know, live ammunition were using a pipe wrench. Mm. That was literally what they were given. They were given a pipe wrench. Wow. And it's like, go and defuse it, you know. Literally find that bomb which is probably deformed or that shell that is probably deformed after hitting the ground at, you know, several thousand feet per minute and try and grab that pipe wrench and try and unscrew the detonator out of the front of it without it going off.
Wow.
You know, and so this is where, you know, and as Seventh Day Adventists, and of course Faith FM Radio is sponsored by the Adventist Church, we have a very proud tradition of working in these kinds of fields, going back a very long way. And also, you know, famous medics like, you know, Desmond Doss. You know, there's a movie about him.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just one of many who served in those kinds of roles. And I think I've wandered away from your original question, Joseph, so forgive me for that. Maybe take me back there and I'll continue my comments.
No, we were there. So the question is, the question was initially, and you responded in the beginning of it, are these values of courage, camaraderie, sacrifice, are they foreign to the Bible? This is a military virtue alone, or is this a reflex?
No, the Bible speaks in military terms in many places. And it talks about God in military terms. So, for instance, when Jesus comes to meet with Joshua outside of Jericho, he's the commander, the general of the forces of heaven. And he introduces himself as such, and Joshua worships him as such.
Yes.
Then one of the passages that I highlighted this morning was Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, It takes a different view because it's not talking about, you know, the great cosmic battle between Christ and Satan. It's talking about the battle that you and I fight every day.
Mm.
And it doesn't refer to Jesus there as our commander. It refers to him as our captain, somebody who operates from the trenches, in the dirt, in the mud, in the filth with us and stands beside us. Not a general in this context who is back at his headquarters, but somebody who's going out there in front and leading from the front. So that's Jesus, the captain of our salvation.
So Jesus, both the general, the commander of the hosts of heaven, and the captain of our lives.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Let's get into our next quiz question. This character was not content with leaving the promised land filled with giants and in his old age, took his family and was victorious against the enemy. Let me read that one more time. This character was not content with leaving the promised land filled with giants, and in his old age, took his family and was victorious against the enemy. If you know who this is, 0491-064-669. Of course, our prize is not for this week, but every single day. We are spinning the wheel at 8:45 this morning. We're going to be spinning, and if you win, you'll receive a Faith FM t-shirt along with, you know, stickers and magnets and whatnot. We are giving you some merch that will be a blessing to you. Again, that number, 0491-064-669. Let us know too. You know, I was in my family group chat this morning, and we're all sending in, you know, the majority of my family is all together in Wanji at the moment in the Newcastle, Lake Macquarie area. My little sister, she's down in Sydney at the Anzac Day service there. You know, I'm up here at Stewart Point, a part of the Dawn service here. Let us know if you went to a Dawn service this morning, where you went to it, you know, where you were participating in the Dawn service. It is an incredibly important tradition in my family to attend as someone who has family in the armed forces, in the military and whatnot. So yeah, let us know where you have been spending time. 0491-064-669. Also answer that question as well. This character was not content with leaving the promised land filled with giants in his old age, and I should say, in his old age, took his family and was victorious against the enemy.
And Lawson, we had a message coming in here from Michael. Good morning, Lawson, Joseph, Lyle, Shell, and Brian from Boambi East, Cove, so not too far from us. Mm. Thanks for showing me a while ago that Anzac Day isn't glorifying war like I once thought. Mm. And Joseph, I did use sumac on my/your tahini. I think he meant the hummus.
The hummus, yeah, with the tahini.
Thanks for baptizing me to Lyle. God bless you all.
Yeah, so actually Michael is from Coffs Harbour where Lyle recently did a public evangelistic campaign, and it's powerful to see that Michael was able to experience baptism through Lyle. That's really awesome. Hey, praise God for that. We also got Patricia writing in at like 4 a.m. Patricia wrote in, lest we forget. So probably preparing or getting ready to prepare or, you know, at a dawn service at that time.
Lest we forget. Mm. And moving on to our news of the day. So Australia's top spy and police chief, mm-hmm. in a very unique and rare appearance together, are asking tech giants to allow them to pick into our phone, Lawson.
Okay, Australia's top spy, firstly, and the chief of police.
Yeah, so we're talking about Director General of the Australian Security Intelligence Organization, ASIO, mm-hmm. Mike Burgess, and Australian Federal Police Commissioner Rhys Kershaw.
Mm.
And they're saying that technology is not, and I quote, not above the rule of law. And they are accusing social media giants of refusing to snuff out extremist poison.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so this is what they said. So Mr. Burgess said that he's urging resistant tech companies to work with security agencies and establish lawful access. And I just feel that there's a little bit of a reference to Elon Musk here.
Mm.
With everything that's been happening with X. You know, you remember that Elon Musk was asked to remove the video from X about the terrorist attack against Bishop Maury Emanuel, which he did in Australia. But one of Australia's senators, she said, no. Jackie Lambie.
This has to be worldwide.
Yes, from Tasmania. She says, no, you have to remove it worldwide. Mm. And to which Elon Musk replied, you cannot control the world internet, lady.
Mm.
To which she replied, you should be in jail, mister. To which he replied, you know, you have utter contempt for the Australian population. Mm. So it's been a bit of a battle there.
Mm.
But Mr. Burgess said that privacy, and this is the quote, privacy is important, but not absolute.
Ah, okay.
And ASIO investigations are being seriously compromised by nationalist extremists using encrypted chat platforms.
Wow.
So you know how platforms now, they have end-to-end encryption, meaning it's very, very hard for you to just intercept the message.
And this has become something. WhatsApp was Meta, or the Facebook company's end-to-end encryption chat service. But now, if you've been on Facebook or Instagram, you probably had to like come up with a password for messages and whatnot, because they've introduced end-to-end encryption for all of their platforms, for Instagram, for Facebook, and I guess the Australian government here is feeling the heat. They're feeling the difficulty that now comes with that, in terms of, you know, in certain court cases or in certain things.
That's
having to breach those.
It's very difficult technically.
Now it's become really, really, basically, if the encryption is done by Facebook, like one of the biggest companies on earth that has such a, you know, it would have to be pretty high end.
And this is what he said. He says, imagine if there was a section of a city where violent extremists could gather with privacy and impunity. Imagine if they used this safe space to discuss terrorism and sabotage and vilify Muslims, Jews, people of color, and the LGBTQIA+ community. And imagine if the security service and police were stopped from entering that part of town to investigate and respond.
Mm.
How does that sound to you, Lawson? That sound that's the way to go? That's the answer?
I think I would say this as a Christian who, you know, follows Christ, who was persecuted by his local religious leaders and government, and was hung on a cross for being literally a perfect person, and with advice from Jesus that eventually you should expect persecution as people who follow Jesus because your way will be against the way of the world. I think this does worry me. Because right now, and this is something that I said on The Breakfast Show a little bit early in the week, those who are truly following Christ are perfect citizens. They are the best citizens of any country that they could be a part of any group that they could be in, because they are such
law-abiding,
you know, people-loving, charitable.
Well, that's the ideal, at least.
That's the ideal. I'm talking about Christians who truly follow Christ, right? But when the world decides that values held by Christians are a problem, despite their evident and obvious benefit to society, then you'll be persecuted for that fact. It does make me worried about myself or about others, you know, because I'm like, oh, well, if our privacy is compromised and we're stopped from being able to live out our faith, where we can't even have a platform to communicate with each other because now it's being compromised by the government. Yeah, so it does make me worried.
So I'm worried too, and I have two quotes from you, Lawson. One is from Vladimir Lenin, or at least it's attributed to him.
He says,
fascism always begins by targeting the perverts.
Mm.
So start by targeting the perverts. So it starts with let's chase the bad guys.
Mm.
And before you know it, hey, by the way, now that we have access to everyone's phone, let's see what else can we find. Let's see who else will we fit into that pervert category here.
Mm.
Particularly in this day and age where if you disagree with someone, you're already hating or vilifying them.
Mm.
Who defines that? Number one, this is a Bible verse that I thought as well, Austin, and I think that we are in unison here. Luke chapter 21, 12 to 17. But before all this is Jesus. Jesus saying, but before all this happens, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Because you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. We live under the shadow of that prophecy that Jesus said, one day you, just because you're following me, you will be hated and persecuted by all men, through which means, well, we're saying through every means possible. So when we look into that, my concern is, are they legitimately going to be using that to spy on criminals? Or are they going to be using this later on to chase people whom they disagree with?
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Joseph. And just joining us in the studio, we've got GT Ng, who we're about to talk to. But before we get into our interview, next quiz question, simply this. Who climbed Mount Mishmash, and that's literally the name of it here. It's M-I-C-H-M-A-S-H.
I think it's Mikmash.
Mikmash, with his armor bearer and defeated the Philistines. If you know who this is, 049-0491-064-669. Again, who climbed Mount Mishmash, with his armor bearer.
Just don't say mismatch.
No, it's not mismatch. No. And defeated the Philistines. Now, if you know the answer to this one, as we said all week, we are spinning the wheel and giving you a prize from basically Faith FM merch. You'll be so blessed by this. Beautiful shirts, beautiful hats, beautiful mugs. Today we're doing a shirt along with stickers and magnets and all kinds of Faith FM memorabilia and merch, which will be a blessing to you. Again, that number 0491-064-669. Who climbed Mount Mikmash with his armor bearer and defeated the Philistines?
So, to our listener, you know that this week is a special week. We are at B Camp, which is a big Christian conference here. And every night we have different speakers speaking to different tents. And I have here with me Dr. G.T. Ng, who is a speaker at the big tent. And Dr. Ng has a PhD in philosophy. And he is here with us to tell a little bit about the message that he has been sharing with his tent. Dr. GT, welcome to The Breakfast Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. GT, we want to know, the main theme of your messages are about joy.
Yes.
I find that joy is often a forgotten word in the, today's vernacular. We substitute it by happiness, by fun, but we don't often think on in things in terms of joy. What is joy, and what is that you're trying to communicate through your messages?
Joy is something very elusive as far as we are concerned. It is something that is very much absent in our everyday life. But to us Christians, our religion is one of positivity. Our religion is one of being joyous in the providence of God. Because the God that we worship is not made of stone and wood and metal. It is a living God. And therefore, God himself, being a living God, being the eternal Father, being the master of the universe, his very essence is one of joy. So we cannot help but be sad when we are connected with God the Father. That's the reason why it is so very positive to enjoy the kind of holy joy that God has given to us.
That reminds me of a quote that someone once said, that God must be the happiest or the most joyful being in the universe himself. And one of the reasons that they presented to that is because his plans can never be thwarted and frustrated. So what you're saying is that because we serve a living God as Christians, and because God is a God of joy and love, therefore, when we serve him, that joy somehow rubs into us and we become joyful ourselves. Is that correct?
Exactly. The basis of my message this week is on Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Wow. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy imparts strength. And this is the gist of the whole presentations. And another key cornerstone of my messages this week is on Proverbs chapter 17:22, which says, a merry heart does good like medicine. A broken spirit dries up the bones. This is a tremendous statement which we hardly realize. In fact, New International Bible tells us, a joyful heart is medicine.
Wow.
That's even more powerful. I love that translation. So, do not forget to take your daily medicine.
Wow.
And that is being joyful.
It's very interesting that you say this, Dr. GT, because I think that a lot of people associate religion, or perhaps even Christianity, not to joy, but to duty, to something that is heavy, that is cladden with guilt and shame. And you're telling me that the real picture is one completely opposite to it. So how can people find that joy in their faith in Jesus Christ? How does that work?
The only way to have joy is to be connected to the source of all joy. That is all to it.
Wow.
And in order to do that, you have to be connected with his word, which is the Bible itself. You know, as the guidebook of our religion, we believe the Bible is an inspired book of God through a prophets of old. And you cannot generate joy on your own. You cannot crank it up. This is something that you cannot manufacture under any circumstance. You have to be connected with the source of joy through a prayer, through Bible study. And so if you have a religion of pessimism, you have understood the Christian religion. It is not supposed to be.
Wow. We here at Faith FM, we're really blessed to have certain interviews with mental health experts and whatnot, and they're constantly sharing how it is that positive emotion leads to positive, holistic well-being. But as you're sharing with us now, this isn't a modern phenomena that doctors have just recently worked out. This is something that the Bible advocates for heavily. And from what I can tell here, your application is, well, hey, if the Bible is advocating for this, well, let's use the biblical methods for experiencing joy. And that joy comes from the Lord. Let's participate in connecting with him. I'd love to go a bit deeper on that. What exactly, you know, from your talks and whatnot, you're advocating for with Bible study and prayer and whatnot, how it is that we can really apply that to our lives to experience that joy and that overall better health and well-being.
Well, thankfully, science has verified what the Bible has to say about being joyful. This is tremendous. Research done by Harvard University, Johns Hopkins University, buried out. It says a person with a joyful temperament, who have a happy heart, fortifies himself against all manner of diseases. This is really tremendous. Chances of having cardiac arrest or heart attack is significant lesser in the people who is happy. You know, people who are happy. So this is really an astounding finding from science. In fact, there was a reporter, editor of a magazine called Saturday Review. His name is Norman Carsons. He wrote a book about his experience because he had a very serious disease of his of the connecting tissue. Very painful. Doctors have given up hope. So in desperation, doctors gave him leeway to find any solution under the sun. To treat his disease.
That's not very hopeful, eh? When a doctor says, hey, good luck, you work that one out, we're out of ideas.
I encourage you to just go and try something somewhere.
And so he decided on the human therapy, and the humor therapy. So he borrowed, in those days, 60 millimeters, you know, movies, you know, funny movies and so on and so, Charlie Chaplin's and so on, to his room and watched them. And he said, after watching those movies, I have 2 hours of 2 hours of peaceful sleep without pain.
Wow.
Wow.
Without medication.
Wow.
And it was so significant that he wrote a book about it. The name of the book is Anatomy of Sickness.
Wow. What an incredible story and experiment that man did. And what are other ways that we can experience that joy? You mentioned in connecting with God through the Bible, one of them. What other means do you propose that we can do that will experience that kind of joy?
In a short interview like this, we cannot disclose everything. And therefore, I recommend a book that everyone should read. The name of the book is called Ministry of Healing.
Wow.
The Ministry of Healing. You will read chapter after chapter of gems that will help you to be happy. For example, the author says there are 5 elements of joyful emotion. Number 1, courage. Number 2, hope. Number 3, faith. Number 4, sympathy. And the last one, both. And the author tells us how imperative it is for us to be grateful. So gratitude is an element of joy. And we need to be praising God rather than having an organ recital. You know what organ recital is? Having a litany of complaint of our organs. My stomach, my liver, my lungs, and so on. And this is not to be. We have to be grateful for whatever God has given to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the elements that constitute joy. You're talking about gratitude being one of them. To our listener out there, some of them may have a religious experience that they see as oppressive. Maybe some of them have a pessimistic, negative outlook of life in general. Can they use that as a diagnosis to say, hey, there's something that I'm missing out here? Where would they start? Maybe they are reading the Bible, but is it possible that they're reading it through the wrong lens? Or what would you recommend to someone that comes and says, Doctor, I have a pessimistic view. I am relating to God on a legalistic, just, you know, keeping the rules approach, and I cannot find joy. What can I do to experience that joy you're talking about?
This is reading the Bible from the wrong lens. Because the Bible itself has 2,700 verses that are related to joy and praise and celebration and victory and so on and so forth. How can one miss it? You cannot read through the Bible without feeling happy and the victory that God has promised. Mm. We are not fighting the battle on our own, alone. We are depending on God, and God is a God of triumph, a God of victory. That's the reason we cannot help but be happy, relying on God and
that
God alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing that I wanted to ask you, what is the role of giving and generosity in promoting that joy? Or because a lot of people, they feel quite attached to their money, to their finances, but is there a joy that actually comes from serving others and to being generous towards others as well?
You have asked a very good question, because many people are way down with financial burdens. They cannot make ends meet. And I'm here to tell you the good news. God has not given us that burden to be wearisome on a daily basis about money. He has a perfect solution for us in Malachi chapter 3. Return your tithes and offerings, and God will open the windows of heaven that so many blessings come forth that there is no room to receive. Can they believe that? Mm. And if I have time, I will tell you tons of stories of how individuals tested God and found to be wholly satisfactory. God says it's 100% guaranteed.
Wow. I have a question in that regard. You're saying that tithe is one of these factors that actually bring joy to someone's life. We have lots of listeners that perhaps do not practice tithe, even though they're Christians. We have lots of listeners from various communities that don't necessarily practice tithe. We have Muslims, we have Buddhists, we have Jews that are listeners and listen to our show. We have even atheists and people that consider themselves spiritual but not religious. Could even they practice that, and how would they do so?
Well, anyone can practice principles from the Bible. It is by no means restricted to only Christians. You know, the Bible is for humankind, you know, for the benefit of humankind. So tithe is 1/10 of our income returning to God. The purpose is God wants us to acknowledge Him as the Creator. You know, I'm not alone myself. You know, God the Father created me. And as such, He cares for me. I don't have to worry at all as far as finance and other aspects of life are concerned.
Thank you very much. Dr. Ng, we have, 10 seconds left. But I wanted to ask if you have any last final words for the listener today.
Well, in the environment of COVID, there is more reason to be happy. And this is not something you manufacture. This is something you are connected with God and derive from that source of power and joy. And this is the only way to go. So every day for us, the Bible has become more and more significant in a world of sadness and depression.
Dr. G.T. Ng, thank you very much for your presence. Thank you for your message of joy.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.